Welcome to the weekly teaching program from Finally Alive Ministries with pastor and counselor, Gary Aris. Gary is a full-time pastoral counselor and teacher of God's Word. He has a remarkably deep passion to see people set free in Christ. You may call our prayer line at 657-246-2464 or email at prayer@finallyalive.com. That's prayer@finallyalive.com. Now, let's join Gary as he shares some amazing truth from God's counsel in this week's teaching.
If God is so good, if God is so loving, fill in the blank, what is it? Why does he let people suffer? And then they get more, you can get more in detail with that. Why does he allow tsunamis to happen? Why do earthquakes happen? You know, if God is so good, if God is so loving, right? So that's why we're going to go to the book of Job. I think that it's an interesting book because it's all about suffering, and it has one like main message, and it's such a smack in the face. I think it's worth it. So here's Job, innocent guy, did nothing wrong, and he gets all these punishments. His kids die, his wife dies, he loses everything he has. You're thinking, what the heck is that? What kind of God does that? Right? So valid question. We'll go with it. Can you blame this guy for getting upset? No, probably not. Probably not. So when we go to Job 13, I'll go to verse 1. It says, "Behold, my eye has seen all this, my ear has heard and understood it. What you know, I also know. I am not inferior to you, but I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to argue with him." Pretty valid. So the guy wants to argue with the Almighty, right? Okay. Job 23. Verse 1 says, "Then Job replied, 'Even today my complaint is rebellion. His hand is heavy despite my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come to his seat. I would present my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments.'" Sounds like the rest of us, sounds like pretty much everyone who feels like they were treated unfairly, right? That makes sense. I mean, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you argue? Okay, God, you're supposed to be so good, and I'm so, and you're supposed to take care of me. You know, why would you do this unjust thing to me? Especially Job, of all people to complain, Job is probably the perfect guy to make this kind of complaint. So what does he want to do? He wants to argue, right? He wants to argue this one out. Job 31, just kind of following along here, verse 33. "Have I covered my transgressions like Adam by hiding my iniquity in my bosom? Because I feared the great multitude and the contempt of families terrified me, and kept silent and did not go out of the doors. Oh, that I had one to hear me. Behold, here is my signature. Let the Almighty answer me, and the indictment which my adversary has written, surely I would carry it on my shoulder. I would bind it to myself like a crown. I would declare to him the number of my steps like a prince. I would approach him." So at least he's kind of being legit. Hey, look, I really want to understand what's going on here, God. I don't get it. And if you can tell me I did something wrong, I'll take it. I'll take the burden of it. I'll wear it. But I'm not seeing what I'm doing wrong here. Go to Job chapter 9. And then this last piece here in verse 16. "If I called and he answered me, I could not believe that he was listening to my voice. For he bruises me with a tempest and multiplies my wounds without cause. He will not allow me to get my breath, but saturates me with bitterness." Wow, I mean, talk about depression like galore, right? How much worse does it get than that, than bitterness? But does your Bible say tempest in verse 17? "For he bruises me with a tempest." It says tempest. Okay. Another word for tempest is a wind or a whirlwind. Okay. So just heads up. Keep that in the back of your mind here as we go to the point of why I would even mention that. Let's go to Job 28 really quick. I think this is interesting too. It'll all tie together. So Job 28, again, Job is upset, saying all kinds of things, right? So we'll go to verse 1. "Surely there's a mine for silver and a place where they refine gold. Iron is taken from the dust and copper is smelted from rock. Man puts an end to darkness and to the farthest limit he searches out the rock in gloom and deep shadow. He sinks a shaft far from habitation, forgotten by the foot. They hang and swing to and fro, far from men. The earth, from it comes food, and underneath it is turned up as fire. Its rocks are the source of sapphires, and its dust contains gold. I'm going to explain why I read that in a minute, but let's just keep going here. It's just an interesting thing, how the earth is working and what's going on earth. Really, he's talking about how the process of mining works from their perspective. We read that for the purpose, really, for verse 12 here. But where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. On and on he goes. But that's the main question there in that chapter, is where can wisdom be found? He says all that stuff about the whole mining process that they would use. And then he talks about, okay, well then, where can we find wisdom? All right, so keep that in the back of your minds. Now let's go to chapter 38. And we're going to get a little technical here, so bear with me. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. We read Job 9, because he was talking about, I'm bruised and I'm going through all this and bitterness. It's like a whirlwind. It's kind of interesting that God would use a similar idea. Oh, let me show you something, kid. Here's a whirlwind. I'll show you a whirlwind. And he shows up through a whirlwind. What is the idea here? So I'll give you the answer up front and tell you this. I'm beginning to believe that God wasn't trying to give him a verbal beating, but he was definitely trying to show him something. And it wasn't a verbal beating, that's the point. I think the point of it is, I do care. So, first clue, I think, is the whirlwind. I think it's interesting that God would even use this connection of a... He talks about a whirlwind, and now you got a whirlwind going here. What's up with that? So, again, connection here, okay? So we'll just keep going with that. And I thought it was interesting that it would start off with, then the Lord answered. When you look up the word Lord, Yahweh, in the Hebrew, you'll see a different aspect of God. It's the aspect of God that's going to show up and change something. He's going to show up and maybe even fix something. This is the covenant aspect of God. This is the same Lord that shows up with Abraham. This is the same Lord that shows up and creates the world. You would just have to do a word study there, and you'll see that the word Yahweh comes up. I think it would be more interesting, because later on it says Elohim, it says God. But it's funny that it starts off with Yahweh. Again, why is that such a big deal? You know, you can use Elohim, you can use Yahweh. They're not really interchangeable. I think it tells you something. We have to look at why they use these words. We have to see it from their perspective. Someone said, what if you read the Bible like a novel? And not because it's a novel, but what do you do with a novel? You read a novel, and you know that whatever they say, they're saying it for a reason. You see the empty cup in the beginning of the movie. Why'd they show you an empty cup? Well, there's a reason, right? What if we looked at it that way? So that's kind of the aspect, or that's kind of the way I want to look at this here. So then the Lord answers. The Lord, Yahweh, all right? So if Yahweh's going to show up, obviously he's coming to fix and really to connect to his people. Clue one there, Yahweh. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Then I looked up the word answer because it was right after Yahweh. And I'm noticing that there's other words that you could use instead of the word answer. I know this is getting a little weird and technical, but the main word that is going to be used is answer. But what comes in second place is a reply. But what if he's replying? And what would that imply? Because this Yahweh showing up with a reply out of a whirlwind. Because Job, you talked about a whirlwind. You want to talk about a whirlwind? Here's your whirlwind. God's going to connect with his guy, Job. And again, why even look at it from this perspective? Well, what does God call Job repeatedly? In fact, 6 times to be exact. He says, you're my servant. What about my servant, Job? He says it 6 times. So I think that's an interesting connection. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Obviously, Job is missing something here, isn't he? Verse 3, now gird up your loins like a man. Okay, that doesn't sound too nice. The word now is sometimes replaced with the word I pray or please. And I don't think God is saying, oh, please, sweetheart. You know, I don't think he's doing that. I think he's trying to connect with his servant and saying, all right, look, listen to me. Gird up your loins. You need to answer some questions. Not like, gird up your loins. I don't think he's doing that. I think he's trying to connect. Yahweh is trying to connect with his guy, because his guy obviously doesn't understand what just happened. Can't blame him, okay? Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth. I love how God, Yahweh, starts off with that. Because where was Job? Nowhere to be found. Tell me if you have understanding. And that's how he starts it off, just to put everything into perspective. Right off the bat, and this is for us too here, is that, where were we? Nowhere to be found. Tell me if you have understanding. Why do bad things happen all the time? I can't believe it. Why did God have to take away my grandma? Look, it's sad, I get it. It is. But tell me if you have understanding. Who are we to be the judges? First thing he says, tell me if you know. Tell me if you have understanding. What did he just do? He just put God's knowledge billions of miles apart from Job's knowledge. Job's knowledge is menial, and that's why we read Job 28. For you to see that's where he's at. He's thinking about mining everything earthly. Did you guys notice that? Everything was very earthly. So verse 5, who sets its measurements since you know? Or who stretched the line of it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who enclosed the sea with doors? When bursting forth it went out from the womb? When I made a cloud its garment, and thick darkness its swaddling band, and I placed boundaries on it, and set a bolt and doors. And I said, thus far you shall come, but no farther. And here shall your proud waves stop. What is God establishing? That's cute. You know some mining and stuff. That's cool. Because you remember right after that, what did he say? Mining, this is how this works. But then wisdom. Wisdom. He brings up wisdom. You want to talk wisdom? Let me show you some wisdom. You know how this works? Do you know how the waves work? Do you know how the waves know to stop right there and then go back? You know how that works? He's schooling Job. Does God even owe Job an answer? No, not at all. He's God. He doesn't have to answer to anybody. But why does he do it? And again, my thought is, I think he's replying to Job. And not as if God is beneath Job, but that's what he does for us, right? He kneels for us for our sake, not to us, but for us. So he's trying to connect to his servant, right? He calls him servant 6 times. And saying, look, kid, there's some things you don't understand. And I'm going to break each one of these down. Waves, how does that work? Do you know? Nope. How about the earth? You know how that works? Nope. Oh, all right. And as I keep going, I want you guys to notice the things he brings up. Again, comparing it to chapter 28. Okay. Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Or have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you understood the expanse of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. Again, schooling him, isn't he? Where is the way to the dwelling of light? And darkness, where is its place, that you may take it to its territory, and that you may discern the path to its home? There were no scientists back then. He's asking them things that are beyond him. Remember, this is an ancient guy, Job. This is so ancient. You know, Job is the oldest book that's in the Bible, oldest written book. It's actually written in Ugaritic. Even older than the first 5 books of the Bible. What do you think Job is thinking? Because his question is, this isn't fair, or his statement, right? This isn't fair. I shouldn't be treated like this. And quite honestly, when you look at it, man, I don't understand why this guy was treated like that. It doesn't say anything he did bad. And then God calls him his servant. So I'm thinking, why? What are you doing here, God? But there's a point to all this. I bet Job at this point, you got to realize, God is at this point, Yahweh, talking to Job. And Job hearing this from the Almighty himself, how tiny do you think he feels? A speck, perhaps? And he goes on to talk about nature here. I want to skip down to verse 13. And look at what God says here. Speaking of wisdom, remember? Job was like, I need wisdom. I'm going to go and argue. And what is Job trying to do? Just like the rest of us. We're trying to make sense of all this. It has to make sense to me, right? That's the whole point. God, this doesn't make sense to me. And I love what he does here. So Job 39, verse 13. The ostrich's wings flapped joyously. with the pinion and plumage of love. For she abandons her eggs to the earth and warms them in the dust. And she forgets that a foot may crush them or that a wild beast may trample them. What's the ostrich? Irresponsible, right? Totally irresponsible. She treats her young cruelly as if they were not hers. Though her labor be in vain, she's unconcerned. Why, God, why are you bringing up the ostrich? Seriously, God? What does this have to do with why am I suffering? Verse 17, because God has made her forget wisdom. Speaking of wisdom, God has made her forget wisdom and has not given her a share of understanding. God did that. God allowed the ostrich not to have wisdom. What that's saying is, you want to talk about wisdom. You want everything to make sense to you. What if I made the ostrich for my sake? What if I like the ostrich? It doesn't care for its young. It's irresponsible. It's foolish. How does that make any sense, right? And God's saying, I like it. What's it to you? I'm God. I run the show. That's the whole point of the book of Job. I do what I want to do is what God's saying. Yahweh is saying, Job, look, kid, I love you, but I run the show. Ants, I don't quite know what answer for. I'm sure there's a purpose for it. I don't know. But we all kill them. And I'm sure, I mean, if we dig far enough, we can find other insects. It's like, why does this even exist? It doesn't make any sense. It's not food for anything. I don't get it. What if God made it because he wanted to? Yeah, because he can. He's God. He does what he wants. That's the whole point. That's the whole point of the book of Job. So what's the answer to the suffering? Hey, I get it. I understand. I understand you don't like it. But like the ostrich, there's going to be some stuff that you're not going to understand in life. And guess what? That's fine. Well, it's not fine. It's not fine from my perspective, God. Yeah, well, you're not God. Well, that's such a harsh answer. You're not God. He's God. That's just the way it works. Key word, it's not fair. God isn't supposed to be fair. Where does it say God is fair? It says God is just. God is right. He's righteous. That's a big difference from fair. Honestly, on earth, does fair even exist? It doesn't. Fair doesn't even exist. So when we look at some ancient literature, right? And you look at the other tribes, the other groups of people there, they had what they, I guess, what's called a cosmic view of the world. A little weird. But they had their own understanding. Was it scientific? Was it accurate? No, it wasn't. But they had a way of looking at the world. And I wrote them all down, just, and I'll share them with you. It's actually six layers is the way they saw the world. So the first one is going to be the high heaven. Okay, high heaven. The technical term, I guess, is heaven of Anu, if you care about that. That high heaven is where the god or the gods live. Remember, this is other cultures too, so we're not just looking at Yahweh. This is all the other cultures. So this is common knowledge to them. The second layer is the middle heaven. So middle heaven is going to be like the winds and the weather. So the third layer is the sky or the lower heaven, which are the stars and the constellations. The fourth layer is the earth's surface, so that's land, sea, all that stuff, right? The fifth layer is the subterranean waters, depths of the sea. And then the final one is the underworld. Okay, that's where death is, all right? So that's six layers. This is just common knowledge. And what's interesting is chapter 38 touches every single one of those. Every single one. So I think it's interesting that not only is God connecting to his servant Job, he's explaining it to him in his own language that you understand it as six layers. I'm going to break down each layer for you. That's cute. You're talking about mining and silver and how you get gold and all that. Let me break down the layers that you guys talk about. Who did this in this layer? Me. Who did that in that layer? Me. Where were you when this layer happened? You weren't there. I was there. I created it. So Job 42, here we go. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have declared that which I did not understand. Remember, he was talking about wisdom, right? Oh, wisdom. What's up with wisdom? This Yahweh schools him. And then he gets it. Oh, man. There are things I don't understand. This is God. This isn't you. This is me. I'm the issue, not you, God. What a revelation to get. Oh, my goodness. So therefore I declare, he says, that which I do not understand, things too wonderful for me. Wonderful, the idea of it being giant. It's too big. So this is beyond me. I do not understand this. I can't. And that's the truth. The truth is, no matter how far science goes and how far we go technologically and all that, it's too wonderful. It's too big. It's a monster. We cannot understand all of it fully. I love science. Big fan. But science can only explain the what or the how. How does this work? That's all it can do. Science can never answer why. It can't. You have a world. Wow, this is how it works. Awesome. Okay, great. Why is it here? Can't answer it. It's impossible to answer. That's not what science is for, though. You see? So, again, I respect science, but it has its limitations, and that's fine. So, here's the comfort, and it doesn't sound like comfort, but here's your comfort. Why do all these bad things happen? Why do people suffer? Why do these things happen to me? Do I deserve it? Quite honestly, you and me don't understand the whole picture. Where were you when he made the first layer, the second layer, the third layer? I wasn't there. I'm the created. To even dare to ask, God, how dare you do this? The created, asking the creator, how dare you do this? Do you see how twisted our thinking is? But it's just humanity. It's just broken humanity. That's all it is. And I love here, and here he is, verse 4, hear now, and I will speak. I will ask you, and you instruct me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I retract, and I repent in dust and ashes. That is the conclusion, and that is the comfort. That God, I don't know why you've done these horrible things in my life, or whatever's happened, you know, in your life. I don't know. But I repent because I'm the created. I don't know. And I'm not going to know every single thing in life. It's just impossible. You know why? Because I'm not God. Because if horrible things haven't happened to you, it's going to happen. It's just the way it is. That's just the way this world works, right? Lord, give me your wisdom. Tell me, you know, what do you know? If you ask God for wisdom, he's going to school you, just like he did to Job. So really think about the question that you're even asking to God. Number one, let's be honest, if he's God, he doesn't owe us any answers. He's God. He can do whatever he wants. It's God. He runs the show. That's the point of this book. No matter how horrible it gets, no matter how nasty and ugly it gets, God is running the show. That's the point. God runs the show. But it's not fair. Okay, maybe it's not from your perspective, but you're not seeing it from above. You're not seeing it from God's perspective. If you don't see it from God's perspective, then you don't know the whole picture. So quite honestly, you're not even the right judge. You can't even judge. But here's where the trust kicks in. I repent, number one, to God. But here's my trust is in that. Here's the comforting part. I don't know. I don't understand everything. I trust in the one who does. Not only does he know, he's the one who invented it. He created it. That's our comfort. Right back to faith.
Thank you again for joining us on this week's program with Pastor and Counselor Gary Harris of Finally Alive Ministries. We pray that if God has touched your heart with any part of today's teaching, you would respond and move into the healing that God has for you. Visit us at finallyalive.com. There, you can download this episode for free, email your concerns, questions, or share a story of how God is using this teaching to help you grow in Christ and His freedom. If you'd like to call our prayer line, you may do so at 657-246-2464. That's 657-246-2464. Or email at prayer@finallyalive.com. We will meet you again next week at this same time when we look at God's Word with Pastor and Counselor Gary Harris and learn how to finally be alive in Christ.